You're listening to The MemoCast, brought to you by Wreck-It Magazine.
Hello there, listeners, and welcome to episode 13 of The MemoCast, titled...
And I'm back!
Because we're back.
Yep, we're back.
I don't know if we're any good, but we're back.
No, we're back. We're back and just as mediocre as ever.
We might be more.
More so mediocre?
Yes, which is, I don't know if that's a good thing, but it doesn't matter. We're trying, and so we're going to start things off with a bit of a more somber tone. This was something that hit last week. But because of no episode and just how impactful this person was in our lives, we said that we should talk a little bit about him. So sorry to continue on the sad Robin Williams like stories, but he the man definitely changed the world.
Yeah.
And so he's no longer with us, and the world is a sadder place because of it. But rather than dwell on something like that, we're going to focus on the positive. And with this little kickoff discussion, we're specifically going to focus on, like, our first memories, or the first big memory we have of seeing Robin Williams perform and kind of maybe how that shaped us. So Michael's going to start, and then I am going to follow suit. I already have mine in mind, if he... can't think of it.
No, I know exactly. The first time I ever saw Robin Williams was in Mork and Mindy.
Okay.
It was way back in the day. It was late at night when I was at my grandparents'
house. It was definitely Nick at Night status.
Yeah, it was like I was really, really young, and I was at my grandparents' house watching TV late at night. I was staying the night there for Lord knows what reason. And yeah, we were watching Mork and Mindy, and it was an episode where he was dealing with his emotions.
Yeah.
And so he was trying to explain to her about how, like, oh, his people locked away their emotions and they don't express them anymore. But he went through and did each emotion as a different character.
Yeah.
And so it was really, like, I was just kind of dumbstruck. I was this little, I think I couldn't have been older than, like, 4 or 5.
Yeah.
And just to see him, just so animated and each different emotion that he expressed to her was a different character, and it was amazing.
Yeah.
So that's, I think, it's one of my earliest memory of Robin Williams.
Yeah, I definitely do remember seeing episode of Mork and Mindy on Nick at Night, the late Nickelodeon stuff back mm-hmm. when they. Do they still do Nick at Night?
I don't know. I don't have cable. I
haven't watched Nickelodeon late enough to really check. Mm-hmm. But that wasn't my first memory. And speaking of Mork and Mindy, for those of you who don't know, remember that was a Happy Days spinoff.
It was, yeah, because he first appeared in and fought the Fonz.
Yeah. And one,
yeah. Crushed his hand.
Yeah, well, what's funny? Before we get too distracted, I just want to say that it's funny how Happy Days, pretty much like every other popular show is a spinoff. And even like Laverne and Shirley was another one.
Yeah, that's right.
And even the not so popular Joni Loves Chachi.
Joni Loves Chachi. I was just about to say Joni Loves Chachi.
Yeah, but yeah. It wasn't popular.
It wasn't. It was not.
But focusing back on Robin Williams, my first big memory was like, I remember like this guy. I mean, at the time, I like didn't know his name. I was like yeah. 5 or 4, and because I saw this in theaters was Hook.
Oh, Hook. Yeah. Yeah.
So I remember being like this guy. He wasn't, well, first of all, he wasn't really like the Peter Pan I was expecting, mm-hmm. but for me as a kid, I was really into it. I thought it was the whole movie, but specifically his performance was amazing, and there were points where I, 5-year-old me cried.
Yeah.
There were still 2 or 3 scenes when I watched that movie, still cry.
Get a little misty.
Dude, like the scene where he's trying to learn how to fly again,
mm-hmm.
I cry like a baby.
There you are, Peter.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, definitely. I there's something I was gonna say. I was like, he wasn't the Peter Pan. He was the Peter Pan we needed, not the one we deserved.
Yeah. he's Bat Pan.
He was Bat Pan. I loved his performance in Hook. And there's another movie that he did way back in the day that I did not see until I was older and better able to appreciate was Dead Poets Society.
Yeah, I haven't even watched that in years. I remember the most recent time I watched it might have been in 2005. I remember, it's a great movie.
Oh, dude, like that scene where like Kurtwood Smith's dad or Kurtwood Smith's kid kills himself.
I was like Kurtwood Smith's dad. like, come on. How old is Kurtwood Smith? His dad wasn't in the... Yeah, no.
Kurtwood Smith is infinite. He is beyond time.
Is Kurt Wood Smith God?
Yeah, he might as well be. Him and Morgan Freeman.
But, hey, so, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, that got me choked. That movie got me choked up. And it also kind of reminded me of like, Junior English with Mr. Mack.
Yeah.
Like that entire movie.
That I was entire just kinda, year.
Yeah, I was just kind of like, oh, wow. You know, our English teacher Junior was definitely not, like... wasn't Robin Williams from Dead Poets Society, but he had that same effect on some of us.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
No, like, so, I mean, even going from Hook, you know, as I got older, I saw different movies. You know, Mrs. Doubtfire was another big one, mm-hmm. coming from, like, a single-parent household. That definitely resonated with me a lot.
Yeah.
You know, like, there are parts... Again, I got a little teary-eyed. A lot of things make me cry.
Yeah. This is something I'm slowly but surely realizing. We've known each other for, like, 10-plus years.
Yeah.
But I think I've only ever seen you cry, like, twice.
You need to go up and be to movies more often.
Yeah. Which is something that was happening. We always see, like, popcorn, like, action flicks.
Yeah, we always see, like, dumb stuff. We never see emotional stuff.
Like, I was like, you know, it's like I turned over to you, like, during X-Men Days of Future Past, and you were just, like, crying your eyes out.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like, I go to the sad movies alone. Like, I don't want people to see me and my emotions. No, I went on a date once, and we went to go see 50-50 with Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Okay, yeah.
And
yeah.
I totally fucking bawled my eyes out on that date. Dude, it was sad. When he goes into surgery,
right there.
If you can't hear it, I'm beating my chest and I'm like, ah. But yes, and so that exact same feeling was how I felt when I... Because I found out about Robin Williams and his death. Like, I got out of work. Mm-hmm. And I was like, Robin Williams' death, please someone tell me it's not a hoax. And I was like, oh, people on Twitter are dumb. But then it was every single, like, my entire feed on Facebook and Twitter and everything was Robin Williams. And I was just like, wow, mm-hmm. it's intense.
Yeah, I was at my girlfriend's parents' house up in Paris, and I was just, like, destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I came over, and she and I were sitting out on the patio, and I was like, yeah, baby, did you hear that, you know, Robin Williams passed away? And I was just, the entire day, I was just sitting there kind of, like, moping. And, I mean, because he was such... I mean, anyone who's listening right now can agree that the world is in a really bad way right now. You know, you see it all over the news, you see it all over Twitter, you see it all over, you know, we got wars, we got, you know, militarized police, we have racism and injustice all over the place. And here was a guy that, you know, could absolutely make you laugh no matter how shitty of a day you were having or how shitty of a go at life you were having.
Yeah.
And it's an absolute damn shame, and I can absolutely identify with his reasons. Mm-hmm. You know, depression is not the kind of disease that you cure or that just mm-hmm. goes away.
Yeah.
And it's not the kind of disease like, you know, cancer or, I don't know, any other disease that you actually, there's symptoms and things that you can see physically. A lot of people are suffering from depression, and they're suffering silently. They don't. Yeah. There's such a stigma against the disease that they feel
people
that
people don't want to, like, follow up on, like, those sad thoughts and think, mm-hmm. well, maybe I am suffering from this.
Even if they know that they're suffering, sometimes
it's still hard because they don't want to admit it, so they don't get the proper help or, you know, really speak out when they're facing trouble.
Exactly.
And this goes back to something we brought up, like, maybe, like, 8 episodes ago or however many episodes, when he checked himself back in a rehab.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, the first thing I thought of was, like, that's something we talked about, and I was like, maybe it was, you know, whatever he was feeling then was just something, a hurdle he couldn't really hop over.
You know, it's not something that just goes away. It's like a little, it's like, I think Patton Oswalt has, like, the best description of depression,
mm-hmm.
where it's like, he feels like he's the owner of a neglected dog,
mm-hmm.
where it's just like this little gremlin that hangs out, and, like, he has this bit where he describes going off of his antidepressants, and it's like, you know, it's like, okay, we're gonna sit in our bathroom for 10 days straight.
Yeah.
And it's like, and we're going to watch Princess Bride 10 times in a row today.
Yeah.
And he's like, all right, I guess. I haven't taken him to the park in a while.
Yeah.
And so it, that's exactly, you know, as a sufferer, a long-time sufferer of depression, that's how it is, you know?
Yeah.
I guess the culmination of this entire thing is if you are suffering from depression or you are having suicidal thoughts or, you know, you are just feeling generally down, talk to somebody. Talk to anybody.
Talk to, there's hotlines. There's even, like, now versions where you can, like, text people for help if you're uncomfortable talking on the phone.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, we are actually going to put the numbers and websites, URLs of various hotlines and resources that you can go to get help for depression and feeling suicidal in the description of this episode.
Yes. Now, before we before we leave this topic and go into an entirely new one, there is one other thing I wanted to talk about related to Robbins. It was just more so something I saw, and I guess kind of relating him to more like, you know, the nerdosphere, is that he was a huge Legend of Zelda fan to the point where he named his daughter Zelda, and he even did a series of commercials.
I remember those. I remember watching that because I saw it on, like, on YouTube. It was just oh, Robin Williams does a Zelda commercial. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
And I, you know, actually it was like the pre-scroll before your YouTube video actually starts. Yeah. And I heard his voice, but Legend of Zelda was on the screen.
Yeah.
And it was like, the fuck is this? Yeah. And I actually sat there and watched it. It was like a 3-minute commercial.
Yeah.
And I actually sat there and watched the entire damn thing. And I was like, I don't care. I could watch Direwolf Plays Minecraft, like, any fucking day.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch this commercial with Robin Williams.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're doing the petition to petitioning Nintendo to name a character after him.
Yeah.
In the next Zelda game.
I feel like Nintendo will do it.
They released a statement kind of saying, well, we're not really going to talk about what's coming up in the new Zelda, but we do love Robin Williams, and something might happen. That's basically the gist of what they said.
Which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
But he did more than one. He's done a couple. I think he's done like three. He did one for like a DS game and a bunch. When they re-released Ocarina of Time 3DS, he did one.
That was the one I saw.
Okay, yeah, that one was because he's talking about like he's just describing like the beauty of the surroundings. And then his daughter's like, "I'm talking about me or the game," and he's like, "Well, both, I guess." it's so that delivery of that final line is so perfect.
Yeah,
I like it was another attack of the feels where I was like.
Mm-hmm.
Like my heart, I was like, I need to drink water or eat a sandwich or something.
I got hit by a Dementor. I gotta eat some chocolate.
Yeah. But yeah, so if there is an afterlife, hopefully you're in the good spot. I'm assuming that you would be. If you can't make it, nobody can.
Yeah, exactly. Robin Williams, with all his vices and his addictions and everything, I think that what he did for this world and the impact he made on so many people more than makes up for any of that crap.
So. Especially because he put a lot of that behind him. So
yeah, exactly. So if I get to the afterlife and I find out that Robin Williams isn't there, I'm going straight to hell, and I'm gonna be like, you, me, this army, we're taking that place.
Yeah, pretty much.
I think I just made an unholy covenant on a podcast.
Yeah, yes, you did, and this podcast is doomed for all eternity. Mm-hmm. Now we're gonna jump into something a little bit way, way off, just for like a slight tangent. And then we're gonna go into a musical break. Mm-hmm. Gotta talk about wrestling because we just saw that video of CM Punk on the Nerdist channel.
Oh, what they were at Comic-Con a few weeks ago
playing the Borderlands laser tag thing.
Yeah,
and it was called the Taginator.
It was a Terminator spoof, and it was basically CM Punk like
taking on the entire Nerdist news team.
And in the vein of Terminator, like, cross Borderlands, because they had the Borderlands heads-up display, which was apparently what, like, CM Punk sees.
Yeah.
So he's a level 50 Taginator.
Yeah.
It was pretty funny. I got a few chuckles out of me.
I think the best part is when he's in the trash can.
Okay, the guy's like, I'm not going out like this. And he shoots himself in the head, and then it pans up, and then CM Punk just, like, sitting in the trash can behind him.
Like that is the best moment of the whole video.
Or that the Asian chick comes out.
It's Jam.
She's like, Jam, and he just like lights her up.
It's all, he gives her like three shots.
Yeah.
And then a little monologue at the end.
His little Michael Biehn monologue.
But he's officially released from his contract, and he did a lot of stuff for Nerdist at Comic-Con, and the way things are going, we'll probably see more of him involved just down the line, I hope.
Yeah, well, like I said a few episodes back, I think this is his new home. I think he was such a huge supporter of Nerdist.
Mm-hmm. And vice versa.
Yeah, that I think once he left WWE, that this is his new home. Him and Chris Hardwick are like BFFs. Yeah. So.
Well, I think it's funny is I'm noticing that more people involved like in, you know, the Nerdosphere, so to speak, are really into wrestling. Like the other day, yesterday for SummerSlam, you retweeted Nathan Fillion, and I was like, I did not know he was a wrestling fan.
Yeah, Nathan Fillion. It's like, yeah, I missed SummerSlam. What was I doing?
You were doing boyfriend, girlfriend stuff?
I was at my girlfriend's house taking care of her, so.
Yeah, no, but he was just like, SummerSlam, like you know, like headlining match of John Cena and Brock Lesnar, check.
Yeah.
His all, what is it, like, not
stretchy plants?
Pants, not plants. Stretchy plants.
Those two.
Yeah.
Stretchy pants, check. You know what? Shut up. I've had 2 hours of sleep, all right? I've been up since 5 in the morning.
Yeah. But I know it was really good. I mean, I only saw that the final match. I have to rewatch it today, and I'm going to end up watching Raw first. I mean, I didn't know all the results because I was reading the Twitter feeds of like everybody that I know.
Yeah.
And but that last match was just woof. It was pretty much just Brock Lesnar beating the shit out of John Cena for like 8 minutes,
which I think is interesting because like they've kind of shoved Cena down WWE fans' throats.
Yeah.
As of late.
Well, it's because Daniel Bryan was gone, so like, well, who's the next big guy?
Yeah.
You know, who can carry that kind of weight?
And it's just kind of universal that I don't know many people who either A, aren't 12,
yeah,
and B, don't have some sort of, like, weird thing going on in their brains that are John Cena fans.
Yeah.
Like, when we went to my friend's house to watch WrestleMania,
yeah,
like, they were just like, there's one rule in this house, and it's fuck Cena.
Yes. To be honest, like Cena is he sells a lot of merchandise and has a lot of fan base, but like his fan base tend to be like people in the military and like just a lot of young children. He's like their hero because dude, I like work at Hot Topic. We have tons of John Cena shirts, and little kids come in all the time. Like, where's the John Cena shirts? Where's the John Cena shirts? That man, like. I'm not a fan of him as far as like the wrestling world goes, and as far as his charitable work, I back him 110%.
Yeah,
like all day, every day. I think he's in the Guinness Book of Records for the most like Make-A-Wish Foundation like dreams accomplished.
Yeah, I will begrudge the man that he definitely does do a lot of charity work.
Yeah, because he knows like how much of an inspiration he is to a lot of people, and so he takes that to kind of help boost up their morale, whatever he can.
Yeah.
So I give him props on that. I still think he sucks at wrestling, but what he sucks at in wrestling, he makes up for him being a good guy.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it was pretty much just like Brock, and another German suplex! Like, that at the end, Michael Cole, I think, goes, Brock Lesnar delivered 16 German suplexes. And I was like, that's like the only match that's the only move we saw the whole match.
And it was basically just like, if I may, it was basically just like you went to the arcade to play Street Fighter, and you took like Sagat,
yeah,
and then you gave your little cousin the machine with the broken stick, and that's what the match was.
Yes, that's pretty much what it was. And then now Lesnar is the new champion.
Yeah,
which is interesting.
My client, it's Brock Lesnar.
No, Brock.
Gotta roll that R.
Yeah. You know, and what about your other client, Cesaro? Do you not care about him?
So what?
So, huh? The king of, huh? The what of Swift? No, it's all Brock, baby.
No.
It's all Brock, baby. But, well, what I'm more interested in seeing is now, because, like, the last time we saw Brock was WrestleMania.
Yeah.
So I'm like, now that he's the champion, is he actually going to show up and do more tapings? Or is he just going to be, like, or is Heyman just going to show up and cut all his promos for him?
I think Heyman's just going to cut all his promos for him.
I mean, the thing is, he has to show up to a minimum amount of, like, he has to, like, defend that thing, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, like, I would hope that at the very least, if they're going to make him champion, he would at least stick around. It. Even if he doesn't do episodes of SmackDown, I would hope he at least does episodes of Raw.
You know what would be an interesting storyline that if they would do is if they made it him, like, some unbeatable juggernaut.
Yeah.
That, like, he just held this title for, like, fucking ever.
Yeah.
Like, for at least a year.
Yeah.
And he was just, like, the mountain. And no one could beat him. And then, like, the next Daniel Bryan, or if Daniel Bryan ever comes back, like, that's the storyline they pitch, is that you have to climb the mountain, so to speak.
Yeah. Well, I would hope it's not a year, because I don't know if I can handle a year of Brock Lesnar headlining pay-per-views.
Because there's no real, like, there's no real personality there.
No.
At least other wrestlers have some kind of personality. Yeah,
well, that's why they gave him Heyman.
Yeah.
Heyman's his personality, and let's be real. Heyman is amazing on the mic, because he does what he sets out to do, make you hate him.
Yeah.
You know, he's perfect. He, down to a T, he is able to work his voice and his appearance and his demeanor down to where, like, just seeing him walk down the aisle with whoever he is as his arm candy, you're just like, fuck you. I'm a Paul Heyman guy through and through, but
fuck Paul Heyman.
Yeah, exactly. I'm a Paul Heyman guy.
Okay, CM Punk.
That's what I wish.
You know, I wish I was CM Punk. Yeah. You just like walk out of the room.
Podcast over. But so yeah, other things that happened was Dolph beat The Miz.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, come on. They were gonna let The Miz hold on to that title for very long.
No, especially after like he got like no crowd reaction at the last pay per view, and I think everyone like was so upset that Dolph got robbed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're just like, Dolph finally gave him a match! And then you just see Miz, nope!
Throw you out of the ring.
Yeah. So that was good to see him finally back with some gold on his belt.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing I was hoping to see, but he things changed, was that I was hoping to see a Sheamus-Del Rio match, but recently Del Rio got let go.
Oh.
He apparently got let go for just inappropriate conduct. And I have to really look into the sources for this. I don't remember if WWE releases an official statement like as to what exactly that conduct was, but the dirt sheets and everybody was saying that like he slapped a photographer or something like that.
Oh, smack.
Yeah, and for
literally.
Me, yeah, yeah. So for me, it's like I want like if that happens, I mean, I get it. I can see why they would cut him, but it's like, if anything, I would have just suspended him and, like, have him, like, release, a big statement,
mm-hmm.
you know, instead of, but I also know that the company has, like, been cutting some costs, and maybe they're just kind of like, well, you know, Del Rio, that was, like, we're just not going to deal with it, just cut you through.
Yeah. I mean, because, like, what, is he a heel, or is he a good guy?
He's been a heel as of late, but he's been a great heel. Like, I feel like, you know, he's been... When utilized properly, he's excellent because he's a heel, but he's not really like aligned with the authority. He's just his own kind of guy.
I'm just a general shit stain on society.
Yeah,
okay.
You know, because he'd always like get dirty in his matches and talk down to people, and he's great at working the mic and being a douche.
Yeah,
you know, which every heel should be good at.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, obviously the best wrestlers are those who can do face or heel.
Yeah,
you know, but there's not as many of those guys as there should be.
Mm-hmm.
But speaking of like faces and heels, I saw the best comic on the botch spot. It was for Shark Week.
Okay.
And it was like what if the WWE announcers hosted Shark Week? And it's so like they're like it's like look at that shark. Look how strong it is. Like it's the strongest thing in the ocean. We have to be in this cage. That's how strong it is.
And there goes the Spanish shark's table.
No. What happens is an orca comes out and eats the shark, and it's marked as the biggest heel turn of the century.
That's pretty funny. I'm going to look that up tonight when I go home.
Yeah, I'll show it to you before you leave.
All right.
But it was just so perfect. I was like, you know what? An orca eating a shark would actually be a really good heel turn.
Yeah.
In fact, the only better comic I've seen from that website this past month was the one where it's a... Brock Lesnar goes hunting and he just attacks the elk.
That's awesome.
It's funny because you just see Paul Heyman yelling at the elk to intimidate it and he just jumps out of a bush.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And now that we've done a little plug for the botch spot, we're going to go into a quick little musical break and then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about some Shaun of the Dead news, as well as a few other tidbits of info, and then I will probably lightly talk about Guardians of the Galaxy. I don't want to spoil it too much for Mike, who has not seen it,
mm-hmm.
and I understand why. Money is tight, but so is this movie.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to listen to Ugazi and another track to be determined, but by the time this airs, you'll know what it is.
All right, so yeah, I haven't said this in like 3 weeks, but bye, guys.
Man, who the legend? Notice that other niggas' rap styles is bogus. Doo-doo, compared to this versatile voodoo. Blazing the stuff that ain't nice, stimulation inside ya. Cause I be that hell, so provide a papaya in the rhyme that be deepest up beside an adventure. Niggas need to test they freaking temperature. For the sickness, that be spreading with the quickness. Remedies, cousin, I be doing on my enemy. Penalty, then I drink 40s to their memories. Emotion, closer to your town, street vicinity. Blood smoke, in the air reveals my head. Set to blow a nigga up with my starving is a death. I bring it to his whole damn fam. Understand if you frontin' on any man down with the clan, I'll be coming for the headpiece. You can't go for my brother. I bring it to the pole for the mother. Serial killer staff from the gal. Some staff. My people's on you with me where you at. Shit's getting deep in here. I mean like thick. Niggas looking all in my face like they want dick. It's about to hit the fan, hit the flow. That's all I can stand and I can't stand no more. What is it? Niggas think they bigger because they got their finger on the trigger of a biscuit. They don't know I'm wicked. When I start to kick it, eat they raw sandwich and down with a biscuit. Man, I got a snapple. They don't want the juice, but he don't want the hassle. So we try to overthrow the castle. Man, they got the temple. I'm coming to your damn black damn. The rental, call the pistol. God, if you don't want to burn from the clock, then beware. I'm a shot, meaning what? The buck stops here. No more dough will be made unless it's being made by who? What's that rhythm? What's that sound? Party people getting down. When it hit, no doubt it's back. Just believe yourself. And you know we keep it moving, baby. We be moving, I better keep it moving. You know we keep it moving, and keep it moving, baby. We be moving, and keep it moving. You know we keep it moving, and keep it moving, baby. We be moving, I better keep it moving. You know we keep it moving, and keep it moving, baby. We be moving, and keep it moving. We keep it moving.
And not religious ideals. Excited. Surprise that out of the thin air you bought a crazy old theory about a credit that scary old man with a long white beard.
welcome back from our nice, lovely musical break. If you didn't like the music, you can blame Mondo for that one.
Blame me for everything wrong with this episode.
Yeah.
Or any episode.
So, we're gonna go into the stuff that we were gonna talk about, but I want to first at least acknowledge, and I want to share this with everyone, the listeners, that every episode, when I come over to Mondo's house and we record, or Mondo comes over to mine and we record, we spend at least, like, 15 to 20 minutes just sitting on the computer, like, briefing each other on the shit we want to talk about this week. Like, showing each other articles, showing each other videos, and things like that. But this week, our preparations took this really, like, weird turn. And Mondo and I have breached a part of our friendship that I thought would never be breached. Like, I thought this would never happen. And Mondo showed me porn as part of the briefing for our... He was like, okay, there's this thing. It got posted on the Jezebel, right? And I was like...
The Jezebel?
Yeah. And I was like... Okay, and you were like, I would tell you about it, but I really think, like, I want to catch you in shock with this. And I was really, like, worried. I was like, what is he going to show me? What is something that he could show me that I would freak out about? And he straight up showed me, like, Disney princess porn. Yeah. And I was not sure how to react to this. I'm not sure what this means for our friendship in the future now that I've seen Prince Nazim's giant dick. Which I think is a little racist, by the way.
Yeah.
How the only black guy they showed in all of those had the ginormous cock.
And yes, I will to an extent agree with you, but they didn't give Shang a tiny one.
Yeah, he was very adequately sized.
Yeah. In fact, the only one who had a small one was Gaston, which makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
He has to compensate.
Wait, why are we talking about dicks on the podcast? No. Okay, we're changing subjects. No more talking about dicks on the podcast.
It's like my friend Richard.
So, Star Wars news got leaked. Episode 7.
Yes. We just saw the video.
We just saw the Nerdist News video, and we wanted to talk about it. We're going to secondhand news here. But we saw the concept art for Han Solo's new costume.
Han Solo.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Han Solo.
Yeah. Shut up and keep talking.
So, and like, one of them, as Jessica Chobot points out, he looks like he's a sheriff.
Yes.
Like, he looks like if Lando Calrissian was a sheriff and just, like, lent on his clothes. Like, Billy Dee Williams was just like, hey, man, here's some of my clothes. Like...
You have some Colt 45 to go with that?
Yeah. And the other one looks like he's, like, a German SS, like, officer in his winter uniform.
Yeah. He's got the parka.
Yeah.
You know, it looked fresh. I was feeling it.
So, there was that. And then they showed, the new big badge. And looks like he's, like, a half robot. He's a robot. He's a robot.
Listen, and... robot. Very Zoidberg.
What's a robot? And he's clutching the shattered helm of Darth Vader, which looked pretty interesting. And they said, much of this stuff may be fake.
Yeah.
It may be just a hoax. But it was pretty interesting. And then they released some interesting plot details.
Yeah.
So should we spoil it? So they did a spoiler alert.
Feel like any episode of this podcast, you're going to get something spoiled.
Yeah.
But yeah, carry forth. They know at this point they're missing their own risk.
So that I guess the first actual flashback happens in the series when... Yeah. Luke, a bearded Luke, tells everyone else about the Inquisitors, which were like a branch of the Sith meant to hunt and destroy Jedi before they could be trained.
Yeah.
Like, if there's a potential Jedi out there, they would hunt them down and destroy them during the Old Republic. So, I like how you were on your phone right now. We'll just make that. I'm not even going to tell you what it was, guys. I'm just going to make that the header. Yeah, the image for this episode on Racket. So. Whoa!
Keep going.
Yeah, apparently it involves the Inquisitors. And they're back, and they're here to hunt any potential Jedi. There was, what was the other news?
Was it the new villain was like part robot?
He's part robot.
What's it called? No, the new kid has the Millennium Falcon and
Chewie
rolling in the Imperial Star Destroyer.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. So yeah, there's that. So that's all the news we have. I mean,
for that.
So I'm kind of it makes me a little bit excited for episode 7.
Yeah.
I've been kind of sitting on my hands with that, as far as like, just like, I don't know, I want to be excited, but I don't want to be excited.
I mean, why? I mean, I feel like it's in good hands for the most part. Mm-hmm. I feel like Disney knows that they're not going to try and screw. I mean, they screw stuff up sometimes. I mean, the Lone Ranger is a really prime good example of that.
My grandfather loves that movie.
It's really bad. Like,
yeah, I've never seen it.
Yeah, it's, and you know, okay, you know what? It's not bad. It's just okay. But mm-hmm. if you're going to watch an okay movie, it shouldn't be close to 3 hours long.
Yeah.
You know? I feel like if they trim the fat by a whole hour, it would actually make it a not too shabby movie.
Mm.
I mean, there are qualms with it, even beyond its length, but, like, that's just the big one.
Yeah.
So, we're going to go into, speaking of, like, Star Wars, I saw a lot of Darth Vaders this weekend, because I was at Club Cosplay round two.
You went.
Electric Boogaloo, or Secret of the Use, or, what is it, Search for Curly's Gold. I mean, I've got lots of them.
Yeah.
Club
Cosplay 2, Back in the Habit.
Attack of the Clones. You know, there's so many. But yeah, it was a great fun event, and I big shout out to Ivan for, like I said, hooking it up, and we have a podcast episode of him, just going into detail about it. So if you haven't listened to it, that'll probably be the first old school episode I upload later today, because I'm gonna start uploading some old ones for iTunes listeners.
Yeah.
But it was fun. The first thing I want to say about it, though, before I get, is that this event, unlike the last one, which is the huge difference, is that it reached capacity.
So,
there was a point where it's like, all right, we're full. You know, and this place is big.
Yeah.
You know, this place can hold a couple hundred people.
Hmm.
You know, so to, like, know that the nerds pulled out in full force to Corona, California, of all places, you know, like, and pack out a club, you know, and have fun was really awesome to see. You know, they had the you know, costume, like, some of the stuff was, like, you know, they're going to do every time, like the costume contests,
mm-hmm.
Which was really fun. You know, Song Hammer played again, which is always nice. But one of the cool things is that they got the Dweeb cast involved doing some stuff, and they actually had a giveaway, and they were like, I almost won the giveaway too.
Oh,
it was a 6-month subscription to Loot Crate.
Oh, dang!
And they said, like, what Jaws movie is the movie?
Hello.
Yeah, but they said what?
Hello. We're leaving that in, by the way. That this is totally being left in. Fine. You guys are getting a behind the scenes sneak peek of this shit we go through when we record this podcast.
Yeah, but anyway, so damn it, whatever. We lost any semblance of professionality, anyways, months ago. So the Dubcaster, they said, well, what Jaws movie is in Back to the Future 2? Mm-hmm. And I want to say, not even, whoever can tell us on Twitter will win the 6-month Loot Crate, like, mm-hmm. subscription. And I want to say, not even 45 seconds after hearing them, like, say it, like, mm-hmm. Like, I tweeted at them, and I was like, and that was Saturday. And so Sunday, I was like, did I win? Did I lose? And then they just liked it. They favored it. And so, like, oh, maybe I won. They said, mm-hmm. announced it. And then they announced the winner, and they applied me, and they said, so-and-so, such-and-such, and Wacky Mondo were the only three to answer correctly,
mm-hmm.
you know. However, so-and-so just beat out, like, you two guys within seconds or something like that. And so I was just like,
that blows.
I know. I was like, really, I was like, if I had just gotten my phone out a little bit faster,
mm-hmm.
I would have gotten it, mm-hmm. you know, because, and I was like, I mean, at the end of the day, it's like, it'd be nice to have a Loot Crate subscription. But, I mean, I'm not hurting that I didn't get it, because there's always the, you know, next time.
Yeah. No, they Loot Crate does so many cool things. My my girlfriend's younger brother, he subscribes to Loot Crate, and he gave me a squishy D20.
Yeah. No, speaking of D20s, those D20s they had at Comic-Con are really cool, like, where it lights up if you land a critical hit.
Oh, I need it.
Yeah.
I need it.
You didn't see those, though?
I mean, no.
It was all over the internet. It was like... perfectly calibrated to where it wouldn't mess up the roll, like, of your dice while still lighting up.
Oh, I want it so bad.
It was funny because it was like $20. It was like, what, $1 for each side?
Yeah. You're paying for all them dodecahedrons.
Those dodecahedrons don't come cheap.
Nope.
But, so yeah. Not to get too distracted from Club Cosplay, it was a great thing to attend, and Again, like, if you go on my Instagram, I took lots of pictures and selfies, hung out with two different sets of Powerpuff Girls.
I saw that.
You know, saw friends like Americo and just other people chilling, bought someone a birthday drink. You know, it was a great time. And I talked to Ivan about, like, the next installment, and he gave me a little bit of insider detail, but I'm not going to announce anything. Just be on the lookout, though. They're gonna announce some news in the next week or two, and depending on some awesome stuff might be is in the works, and number three is gonna be the biggest one yet. So
it's gonna be big.
It's gonna be big.
We're gonna need a bigger boat.
We just start playing the song from Doug. Big.
I forgot about that episode.
Banging on a trash can. Big.
Strumming on a street light.
Big. 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 But no, so like I said, support club cosplay. Like them on Facebook, follow them on Twitter, follow them on Instagram, and be sure to attend the next one, which date four will be announced soon. It wasn't announced Saturday because they're still working some stuff out. But it is a great event. Like, you don't have to show up in costume. I have yet to show up in costume at either of them, mm-hmm. and have just as much fun. And there's tons of cosplayers who are just, you know, down to, like, party, and you know, it's cool to be like, oh yeah, I, you know, Doge took a shot. Yeah, there's a Doge cosplayer, and it's funny because it's just a guy, like, dressed in street clothes, but he's like a Doge mask, and then he has like a gold chain that says "Wow."
Wow, that's much chain, many bling.
Yeah, so it was immaculate. It was a nice evening full of too much whiskey, I might add, and beer.
Yeah,
and beach balls. People threatening to kick my ass.
Yeah, what has it happened? Like, what has it happened? Because I think that's a thing that's been happening recently.
To me?
Yeah.
Yeah. People, I feel like everyone's just like, they're like, who's someone who's moderately tough to where if I beat him up, I look cool, but not too tough to where I can't handle him? That guy.
Okay. I think it's just a handsome motherfucker.
Yeah.
You've blossomed since high school. You're a late bloomer.
It's the hair.
Yeah.
They just see it and they're intimidated. Mm-hmm. Crisp.
Yeah.
That hashtag crisp.
Hashtag crisp. You're not looking like a fucking homeless person like I am right now.
Dude, all you need is the proper cut and the proper pomade, and we'll have you looking like $1 million.
I missed my haircut date.
Can't miss the haircut date.
Yeah, it happens.
It does. You also need to shave.
I really do. I have scruff.
Dude, you've got scruff McGruff.
I literally look like a homeless person. I'm wearing an old Comedy Sports jersey. Yeah. Dude, and, like, jean cutoff shorts and, like, my old Vans where, like, my toes stick out the side. Yeah,
dude, like, if those, like, you're rocking some Cenas.
I've got, like, 3.5 weeks worth of, like, stubble growth on me, and
that's 3.5 weeks of work.
Yeah,
ouch. No, but to end things on the club cosplay / Michael Train, just follow all the social media stuff, and you'll see all the big announcements. And mm-hmm. Michael just needs a slight touch up, and he'll be back to his fabulous himself.
The Michael Train wreck.
The Michael Train wreck. Any train wreck can become a wreck and train. I don't know. I
kind of want that to be the title of the episode now, or at least the subtitle.
Well, a train wreck can become a wrecking train.
Yeah, so it's gonna be episode 13, and I'm back. Subtitle: any train wreck can be a wrecking train.
Yeah, it's true. It's definitely true. Shaun of the Dead news.
Yes, Shaun of the Dead.
We almost forgot.
Simon Pegg tweeted earlier today, Monday, yes, that him and Nick Frost would be stepping back into the roles of Shaun and Ed for the Phineas and Ferb Halloween special.
Yes, airing in October.
Yeah, so he didn't have any other details. He didn't say anything else about that, but he said he was excited. He said woot, I think.
Yes. So we don't know into what capacity they will be reprising their roles, just that they're coming back.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if it's just going to be like a quick little cameo or if they'll be like a big integral part of the episode that has yet to be determined. But the fact that they're even if it's only like a 30-second bit, it's awesome to see them like do whatever they're going to do.
Yeah, I can totally see like a Phineas and Ferbized,
mm-hmm.
You know, Shaun and Ed during a zombie apocalypse, yeah, on the Halloween episode.
It would be that would actually be pretty awesome.
It'd be like, Mom, Phineas and Ferb created the zombie apocalypse.
And then Perry saves the day.
Yep.
like always. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because they've been doing a lot of special. Like, they had that Star Wars special a little while ago, the Avengers one. It's like, did Disney just buy, like, Edgar Wright? Or, like, did they, when he signed the Ant-Man contract, they're like, whether this movie gets made or not, we're taking all your characters.
Seriously. They, no, I think it's actually a smart ploy on Disney's part to be doing all these cool things. Because they have all these properties. Like, they own
a lot.
So much crap now that it'd be damn foolish not to kind of set up certain areas where those things couldn't intermingle.
Well, I was bummed that there was no Kill Bill level in Kingdom Hearts 2.
Huh?
Remember when Disney owned Miramax?
That's true, yeah.
It could have happened.
It could have happened.
Could you imagine, like, having a Keyblade fight against, what's it called, the Crazy 88s or whatever they're called?
I actually saw a hoax thing for Kingdom Hearts 3.
Was it a hoax?
It showed some of the original voice actors portraying the woman who played Kida from Atlantis.
Yeah.
And David Spade and the woman who played Yzma from Emperor's New Groove.
Yeah.
That there was going to be an Emperor's New Groove level.
Which I'm surprised they haven't done yet.
Yeah, and there was a couple other ones that people were just like on Tumblr were freaking out about. And then someone came along and was like, no, guys, it's a hoax. Like, if you go to the website that they're showing, I think it was Internet Movie Database had it up, supposedly. And then I went to search for it to show my friend, who's a diehard Kingdom Hearts fan, I couldn't find it.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? No, but I saw the... what?
Well, you know what? Like, it probably is fake, which is a bummer, but there really should be an Emperor's New Groove level.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like this next one, they could, like, have, like, up to, like, 20 worlds. And I don't... As long as they were fun, I don't think anybody would complain.
Yeah. And it's not like, you know, Disney can't foot the bill for David Spade.
Yeah.
Again, like... Like, Square Enix might be like, I don't know, guys, you know, Final Fantasy 13 didn't turn out the way we wanted it to.
I'm pretty sure David Spade will take most paychecks at this point.
Yeah. And then they'll be like, oh, we can't really afford David Spade right now. And Disney's like, oh, no, we got this.
We can afford it.
Yeah.
Because we can afford a ham sandwich and a six-pack.
Yeah. Speaking of video games...
speaking of ham sandwiches...
you didn't see it, but I saw some gameplay through of it. And it was the new playable trailer for Silent Hill that Hideo Kojima, the mastermind behind the Metal Gear Solid series, is helming the next Silent Hill.
Yeah.
And it is effing crazy. You haven't seen it yet. So I'm going to point you in the direction of the Game Gumps.
The Game Gumps?
Yeah, the Game Gumps. They've said it at least once on their own damn show.
The Game Force Gumps?
Yeah. The Gramps.
Game Gramps.
The Grep. I'm going to show you the Grep playthrough.
the Game Cramps.
Yeah, that Danny and Aaron do. And, it looks... I'm not a huge horror fan in any capacity whatsoever. But it's really entertaining to see other people play through this really scary game. And, you know, having this, like, terrible, like, half-formed fetus sitting in a sink talking shit to you. About how your wife had to start supporting you, and the only reason she got a job is because she looks good in a skirt or something.
Ouch.
And it's like, shut up, fetus! Like, how dare you? And like, fetus is just...
It's a fetus. It doesn't know any better.
Yeah, like, it's just this deformed fetus is talking shit to you. Yeah, so if you guys haven't seen that, go see... I mean, go on YouTube and look over it. I'm pretty sure it's, like, free to play on most, like, on Xbox Live and PlayStation Plus and stuff like that. So, yeah, hit that up.
Yeah. I feel like we've hit all our central talking points.
Yeah.
Unless I'm forgetting something.
We'll probably, as soon as we end the podcast, we're going to be like, oh, crap, we forgot to talk about this thing.
Yes, this is definitely true. So we're just going to end it anyways, and if anything, we'll just open it up with next week.
Exactly.
Because, to be honest, there's just so much going on.
Yeah, this week was kind of a fly-by-the-seat-of-our-pants week.
Yeah.
Normally we have, like, a list. It's all, like, yeah, docketed.
But today, it was so busy last week, couldn't really, like, pay attention to enough of what was going on.
Yeah.
Especially with, like, I've been paying less attention to the nerdosphere and more attention to, like, it's, like, a lot of political, you know, social, like, problems going on as of late. So I kind of got distracted, but...
Guardians of the Galaxy, yay or nay? That's what we talked about.
I saw it twice. I saw it, one of those times I was drunk, and it was great.
Okay, so, yeah, I'm definitely... I get paid on Friday.
Yeah.
So I think I'm going to take my girlfriend and her daughter to go see Guardians of the Galaxy. I'm not going to tell them. I'll be like, we're going to the drive-in, guys. They're going to be like so excited. And I'm like, well, we're seeing Guardians of the Galaxy.
I would laugh if the Turtles was first and you have to watch through that hotness.
I'm going
to
check. I'm going to go online and check.
You know what? I'll say this much about the Turtles. I didn't like the movie, but I like parts of the movie.
Yeah.
But we'll save that for another time. We'll save it for when this guy's actually seen it so you can know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Because I want to get super spoilery, but I definitely don't want to spoil movies he hasn't even watched yet. So, just know, I say yay for Guardians of the Galaxy, nay for Turtles. If you're thinking about watching Turtles, watch Guardians of the Galaxy. If you've already seen Guardians of the Galaxy, watch it again. If you don't want to watch it again, watch Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah. Planet of the Apes was good. Or Get On Up. Get On Up is out.
Is it?
Yeah, it came out last week.
Oh, okay.
And Expendables 3. My friend Joe Din described it as such. Expendables 3 makes Expendables 2 look like Expendables 1.
I think he just wanted an excuse to recycle that old Simpsons joke.
Yes. Well, yeah, but he loves watching Expendables movies. Like it's like his thing. Well, it's my thing too. It's just like you know what's gonna be dumb. Like, you're honestly watching it just for explosions and for one-liners.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of Simpsons, real quick before we duck out, go to PBS Idea Channel on YouTube and check out the Love Letter to the Simpsons. I think it pretty much captures everything I've ever felt about the Simpsons. So, go ahead. I'm going to turn Mondo. It's like a list of shit that I need you to watch now.
Yes. And with that, I just want to leave you with the final note that the MemoCast is for the children. Puffy is cool, but MemoCast is for the children. We teach the children.
I told him not to say it. Bye, guys. It's time to say goodbye.